I want to speak to Brian Rowan now. Brian, good morning.
Hiya, Frank. Good morning.
I'm following a bit of a conversation with yourself and Paula Bradshaw from the Alliance Party on Twitter last night. And it was probably no surprise that Paula Bradshaw made two references to calling an election. The Alliance Party on a nop at the moment would seem to think that maybe an election is better than continuing these talks. Is that unfair to Paula Bradshaw, who isn't available to have a conversation with us this morning?
Well, Paula was making two points, that the talks are at a critical point. Are we going to get a deal that will restore the executive and the assembly? And if not, are we looking at an election in September? And, trying to read inside these talks, Frank, and inside its working groups, it strikes me at this stage that this is a process that is, again, identifying and asking questions rather than answering them. And in terms of trying to make progress, I think the working group on rights, language, and identity will be critical, not just in terms of its specific task, but in relation to the prospects for an overall deal. I just sent you a tweet, actually, before we came on air. And when I say about, asking questions rather than answering them, I've read a document from inside that rights, language, and identity group. It's a document compiled by the facilitator, the chair of that group. He's heard the parties, listened to positions across issues, and the facilitator has produced a paper to try to identify issues. You know, what are the questions and the work to be done? But as I say, no answers as yet. And just, take one issue, and it's the issue that I sent you a little photograph of part of the document, Frank. So
yeah, on same-sex marriage.
You see that, yes, mm-hmm. and you see what it sets out. Parties hold strikingly different mandated policy positions on same-sex marriage. Some view this as a matter of conscience, and within individual parties there can be a divergence of views. There was an appetite to ensure that protections would apply in relation to this issue on grounds of conscience. Most parties generally acknowledge that this is a matter to be considered by the Assembly, submitted to the democratic process. The relevance and interplay between the issue and any possible reform of the current petition of concern process was noted, and you see in the little box below, it is recognised that this issue is one to be addressed as part of an overarching agreement on the restoration of devolution. Now, we know the questions. The challenge in all of this is whether within these working groups and when they move out into a kind of leadership negotiation, can they begin to make progress on this issue and on other issues? And if they can't, Frank, then there's not going to be a deal.
There will be people listening who'll be thinking, and I'm not getting into the argument of whose rights are more important than anyone else's rights, but there will be people, and there, I can see a couple of texts coming through already, who'd be thinking, are we going to go round and round and round and round on these stumbling blocks forever, the likes of Irish language, same-sex marriage, so on and so forth?
Well, just on Irish language, Frank, my understanding is that rights, identity, and language committee met again yesterday. I'm told it was quite a heated conversation, that Sinn Féin had repeated its position for a standalone Irish language act. And the way these working groups are progressing, Frank, they're looking at issues. And we know that by the end of this month, tomorrow, the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach will make their assessment of progress. The facilitator tomorrow will try to come up with a conclusions paper inside that rights, identity, and language group. As I see it and read it at this stage, the conclusion will be a conversation in progress, a discussion in progress. But if you're asking me, have they made progress in terms of cracking these big issues, I'm hearing nothing to suggest that. The Secretary of State met with the parties yesterday. She was talking to them, Frank, about this legacy question. We know that the Northern Ireland Office has completed the assessment of the legacy consultation. That assessment was meant to have been published, and you and I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. The Secretary of State asking the parties yesterday for their opinion on whether it should be published now or later. The fear and concern is that legacy and the battle that's going on within it over, on one hand, protections for military veterans versus historical investigations, that all of that could derail these talks. So we haven't had that assessment published yet, and the Secretary of State asking the parties yesterday when would be a good time to publish it. And that gives you an idea of just how delicate this whole process is, Frank, and this concern about derailing it. My sense of things is that the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach, the two governments, will point to progress within the talks, the progress being that the parties are actually talking about these issues again, and I think they will allow more time. So we're not up against a hard deadline, Frank. We're at one of those elastic deadline moments again where these talks will be stretched to see if it is possible within the conversations to make progress in the weeks and months ahead.
Those who suggested there'd never be any fruition as far as the talks were concerned while Brexit was on the agenda. Brexit's still on the agenda, but the dates have all passed. I suppose Halloween is the next date we're looking towards. Can they keep, if Brexit is a stumbling block, can they keep talking, delaying, procrastinating while Brexit is the biggest international issue?
Well, you mentioned that Twitter conversation I had with the Alliance MLA, Paula Bradshaw, last night. I mean, the reality, Frank, is the government doesn't have a plan B. So its plan B has been delay. Think of the last set of talks and how many deadlines we went through. So I think we're in a situation now where the government will allow this current talks process to continue for some time. But we're 2.5 years now since the institutions came down. We've been in that standoff and stalemate for 2.5 years. But you mention not just the talks, Frank, but the issues that are sitting outside the talks at the moment, the unopened containers, as I've described them, RHI, that report not yet published, Brexit, no settled position, the legacy argument, not yet settled. And we look at London, and we don't know who the next Conservative leader and the next Prime Minister is going to be, what the next negotiation between the Tories and the DUP will involve. So all of those issues, while they're not inside these talks at this moment, Frank, are big, big factors. And there is a long way to go, a long, long way to go before we'll be able to make a judgment on whether this negotiation process will be able to make a deal or not. If they cannot settle those rights issues that we've discussed, Frank, then there will not be a deal.
I must say, Martin Gills, who's entered the Twitter conversation, is maybe speaking for a lot of people when he says, and you may think, Brian, that he's been very cruel towards the politicians, but he says, this is beyond pathetic. It's time to start live streaming these talks so that we can see the level of moron that we've voted for.
Well, what I would say, Frank, is that no one went into this negotiation thinking there was a magic wand that was going to make everything better. What we're looking at for the past 2.5 years is a pantomime and a farce, and there is a lot of anger out there. We've seen in the last number of elections how voting patterns have changed. A big tactical vote, unquestionably, within the European election to get a second Remain seat, won by Naomi Long. So, when Paula Bradshaw talks about the possibility of another election, and I wrote about this the other day, do we need another election to lift us out of that standoff and stalemate and the mud in which our politics have been stuck for the past 2.5 years? For that, you need a decision, Frank, and we have a government at the moment that is not very good at making decisions.
Oh, that's an understatement. understatement.
I think you heard me saying how I said it, Frank.
Understatement of the day.
No numbers in London, no authority, and no ability to take the big decisions that need to be taken.
What do you make of the Home Secretary just finally being here today? Is that just pretty standard for a Home Secretary to drop by from time to time? Or is Sajid Javid, is he campaigning to be the future Conservative leader? He not have many votes in this part of the world. He'd be meeting Arlene Foster today. He'll be discussing the impact of Brexit and all of that. Should we be looking carefully at his visit?
I imagine more to do, Frank, with what's going on in London and what's going on here, to be honest with you. I mean, the deal here, if it's going to be done, is going to have to be done by the parties. You know, Arlene Foster has used this term recently about, a negotiation cannot be a 5-0 concession or win for Sinn Féin. You and I have spoken about the February draft agreement last year, I don't know how many times. It wasn't a 5-0 win for Sinn Féin. And if people can't get out of that trench of this being a 5-0 concession, if they can't get out of the trench of needing to address these issues and getting them over the line, then this process is going nowhere, Frank.
There's another understatement. Brian, thanks very much indeed. Always good to have an insight into it. Thank you. It is frustrating, and I see that a number of you are tweeting or texting to us along those lines. You're losing faith. Maybe we need to listen more to Brian and get a full understanding of the effort that these politicians are putting in to these talks, and take it at face value that they are trying their very, very best to deliver something for the betterment of this country. That is not how you see it when you contact the programme. But thanks to Brian for bringing us right up to date. If you're just joining us, good morning.